Hey everybody, welcome back. It's been a little time since we've had Inside Lion Athletics, but another week and plenty more to talk about. Softball, track and field, we're going to be heavy on those, but we finally get a chance to sit down with Rodney DeLong, the new head softball coach at East Texas A&M. Rodney, welcome to Commerce, man.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Glad to be here.
We're getting you in the right colors. You've been here before, but it was in another dugout and in another uniform.
Absolutely.
Hey, tell us a little bit about your history. I love the you've got some good roots, man. You start out at Lawton up there, you work in cash just down the road in a small community, and you like that. But then the college game reached out to you. How was your transition from high school to college?
I mean, first off, cash means a whole lot to me. I was a young coach, and they gave me a head coaching opportunity right out of college, and they were real supportive of what we were doing. And honestly, wouldn't be where I am today, without the support that those people gave me from the get-go. And that town was very supportive, and had a great experience there. And really, just jumping into the college game, I didn't really change a lot. I still do a lot of what I did when I was a high school coach. I think more than anything is the recruiting footprint and figuring that out and getting to know recruiting contacts, in Oklahoma and Texas and, all over the country. And I mean, that's probably the biggest change and the biggest difference. But as far as, people, culture, and preparation, it was the same. I did the exact same. I do the exact same thing I do now that I did 15 years ago. I probably just do it a little better now just because I know more, just being in this game as long as I have been and meeting some of the great coaches that I've got to meet. And so, but outside of that, yeah, I mean, our foundation's the same. We're still doing what we did back then.
You had head coaching gigs at Cameron. That was your first university job. And then you stepped away from the big hat and were the hitting coordinator at Georgia Tech. Did that come next, or did you have another college stop in between?
Yeah, no, that was the next step. We had a couple of really good years offensively, and I had a few coaches reach out about their hitting job, and Atlanta made sense for me at the time, and so that's where we ended up. We went to Georgia Tech, and honestly, probably the least stressful job I've had. just being the assistant and worrying about recruiting and hitting, that was my biggest two focuses there. Coach Horner, she didn't put any paperwork really on my lap. They took care of all that. And so that was great. And I really enjoyed that and got to learn a little bit about the Division I level, expanded the recruiting and recruiting contacts while I was there. And honestly, it was a really good experience. And then basically led to my next job, which was taking the head job at Austin Peay.
So going from Division II in Cameron to arguably a pretty big program at Georgia Tech at the Division I level, how were you surprised at all by what difference of talent level it is between a good D2 and a good D1?
Yeah, I mean, I think the pitching was probably the biggest jump. Honestly, I felt like there were a couple kids that I coached at Cameron that probably could have helped us at Georgia Tech. And so I think you'll find that the top of D2, it produces some really good players. And there's some kids that get overlooked, some kids that develop later, whatever it is. But yeah, the pitching's probably the biggest difference. Yeah, that was kind of surprising. It wasn't, but it was just to see the amount of good pitching at that level is probably was the biggest adjustment for me. That and the steak and lobster after games, like the way we ate at Georgia Tech was crazy. It's a little better than Applebee's, $10 meals, but yeah, other than that, it was pretty similar.
All right. And then it wasn't too long before Ryan Ivey called you. He, of course, spent a little time in Commerce before going to Austin Peay. And that's where he ended up hiring you.
Yeah, Ryan, man, he was a great AD to work for. It was always, how can I help you? What can I do for you? What do we need to do to help you? We'll find it. It's just money, like things like that. Like Ryan, hardly ever said no. It was just, let's figure it out. We'll figure it out. And going into that situation, they hadn't been very, very successful, but I knew they had a little bit of talent on the roster. But everybody that knew Ryan said, like, this guy will make your experience like this will be worth it. Like, like just trust in him. Go work there. He's going to support you. And so I did, and man, he was great. I mean, he'd show up at our practices every now and then. He'd come to our games, call me randomly. We'd get done, winning a doubleheader or whatever. He'd call me on the bus. Like, the communication was really good. The support was really good. And I'm really grateful for that guy. Really showed me what, like, proactive leadership looks like. And that was a great experience. And honestly, I didn't plan on leaving. I was only there for a year. I even told, everybody I knew, family, everybody, like, we're going to be here for a while. Got my whole team coming back, really excited about it, and then I'm not 10 minutes after I told my kids that, the AD at North Texas called me. And so North Texas kind of brought me back close to home, and that was another good opportunity. And honestly, Ryan supported it, and I didn't want to leave Ryan, and really, I don't know if I would have, but Ryan said, "Yeah, you need to take this job because I'm leaving too." So when he told me he was out and headed to SFA, I said, "Okay, yeah, you're right. I'm going. I'm not going to stay here and figure out who the next AD is going to be." So that's how I ended up at UNT.
So you've seen pretty wide variety of facilities too. How's the John Cain Family Softball Complex stacking up?
Oh, I've always liked it, it was my first experience with Blue Turf, outside of Boise State. But yeah, no, it's the roots of it are good. It's got good stands, got a good playing surface, good cage system. Like, we've got everything in place. Obviously, there's always things that you can add and make it better. But from a start point, like, it's actually better than what I've had at the last couple of schools when I started off. Austin Peay and North Texas, both, this facility is actually better than when I got to those places.
All right, well, move the furniture wherever you want to, I'm sure, but you got to bring in some ball players. Tell us how, I mean, you started out, you got hired, but then you ran away to go find ball players. Everybody applauds that.
Yeah.
How's recruiting been so far?
Oh, it's been good. Just, we're figuring the portal out right now. Just trying to figure out kind of who I'm targeting and how I can make the roster a little bit better, today with what we've got, scholarship wise. And between the portal and JUCO kids, obviously that's going to be the two ways we attack it with the freshman class that's coming in. But, really just trying to improve areas where maybe you appear weak on statistically or on the roster. And so, like, that's what I'm trying to do right now.
How do you feel about high school seniors? The portal has kind of pushed them a little bit behind other people, portal and then plus the JUCOs in front as well. Is there that big a JUCO presence out there in softball?
I think JUCO softball is better now than it was 5 years ago. I
Okay.
think the portal is a big reason. There's a lot of schools that, like you said, I mean, the high school recruiting, it's still there. It's still necessary. But it's slowed down tremendously, and so I think there are a lot of kids that at one time were getting opportunity at the D1 level, because of the portal. A lot of those kids are going JUCO. And so, like, I saw it this weekend, there's a lot of good players at the JUCO tournament, and it was really competitive. I've been to it probably 4 times in my career, and this was probably the best top to bottom talent that I've seen at that thing. And I think the portal is a big reason for that.
Take any lion coupons with you to hand out to players?
I've definitely got a list, so just
Excellent.
trying to narrow it down.
So tell us a little bit about the kind of team that you would like to have year in, year out. They always wobble depending on you might have really super pitching one year, you might have really good power hitting, and then you get slap hitters sometimes that collectively do good stuff.
No, it starts in the circle. We've got to be good there. Got to improve there. Got to improve what we've got. Got to add to make that position better. But at the end of the day, if you can't pitch, this is a hard game to be competitive at. It runs through the circle, and that's where, if you followed me, I've had good pitching just about everywhere I've been, and it's not always easy, but it's projecting, it's working your tail off to find kids that can come in and help you compete. And so, yeah, we're going to try to improve that part. And then, really for us, or for me, the style of play, obviously I want to be a good offensive team as well. But I want a little balance, maybe speed at the top and the back, and then A lot of kids that can hit for power in the middle. And just looking at the dimensions of our field being 190 down the lines, this is a place that you can definitely, I think, put up some numbers. And so we'll be looking to find kids that can flight the ball and things like that. So
Yeah, the later the season gets, the more that breeze is from the south.
yeah.
So the left field fence moves in just a little bit.
Oh yeah, definitely.
All right. What else? Yeah, I mean, what's the rest of your summer going to be like? Obviously, recruiting's most of it.
Yeah, recruiting is going to be the biggest part, and then just putting my staff together, which I'm currently working on right now. Recruiting and then following my kids around. Just for instance, I'm going to Houston tomorrow. My son's playing in a big baseball tournament down there in Tomball, big travel tournament. So
Okay.
be going down there for the next 4 days. And between what my kids got going on and recruiting, that's going to be the every week thing until it shuts down.
Any, do you have any peers that your friends that are in the Southland Conference? Have any relationships in the league?
James at McNeese, I've known him since I was at Cameron. We met at a camp or something, and we've been really good friends ever since. And he was one of the first people to call me and text me when I got the job. But I'm well aware of a lot of coaches in this league, whether it's playing against them or seeing them on the recruiting trail. A lot of good people in this league. I like a lot of these guys and girls.
All right. Man, I don't know what else to say, but we're sure glad to have you. And we can't wait to see some fall ball later on. But, it'll just give us one more thing to do besides play football.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, Rodney DeLong joining us for the first time. Glad to have him. Coach, we got to line up at the end of every segment here.
Yes,
Thanks
sir.
for joining us, and we look forward to meeting you in person soon.
All right, thank you.
Welcome back, everybody. More Inside Lion Athletics. Can you believe it? I've got Coach George Pincock here, the Lion track and field head coach. And this is our last regular segment, Coach. Can you believe that? The whole year.
It's gone fast. I wish it wasn't. I wish we were still competing. We had another
Well,
couple of weeks, but
I know that's your right. But we were gonna get there anyway.
yeah.
Hey, tell us, it's the first time that the Lion Thinclads could make their way and qualify and compete at an NCAA championship meet. And we loaded up a bunch of them to go to Arkansas for that first round at Fayetteville. But it didn't quite go our way. Tell us a little bit about the trip up to Arkansas for a big meet.
Yeah, no, super proud of our group, super proud of our staff. Being a first year university at this first opportunity, we're really proud that we had at least one representative of our university in, almost all the event areas. So we had sprinters, we had a distance runner qualified, didn't compete, but we had some field event, horizontal jumps, vertical jumps, and throws. So, I'm just really proud of our group. But there's a half truth there when you say we're just happy to be here. We had the intention of going there and having a great day and hopefully advancing some people to the national championship in Eugene, but the track gods had some other plans for us.
Well, it experience wise, anybody that's been with you during the 3 year reclassification process, I mean, they haven't been on this particular stage. They couldn't be.
Yeah, when you look at what the meet actually is, the West region, you're taking the 48 best individuals in every event. So you got 48 people from a pretty large population that are going to compete against the other best, right?
Right.
And so the competition is high, which I think we've seen high competition, but the depth of the competition is not something we've seen. So to have an off day and be a tenth of a second slower or a meter or half a meter off, there's a big difference. When the top half of the competition is separated by a very small margin.
And for a West region, that covers a little bit of territory. I mean, y'all had Oregon on the track, Arizona on the track. When you get in the blocks and you look left and right, and it's Texas and those, it's a little different from the conference meet, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've prepared our athletes through the year to see those schools, right? We've seen Texas, we've seen Texas Tech, we've seen other powerful institutions along the way. But again, just the depth of each and every field is so good. It's a great track meet.
Well, like so many other sports, when you're trying to be the champion, then only the champion gets to celebrate, right?
Yeah.
But there's so much to celebrate, even if you don't finish out with a gold medal around your neck.
No, yeah. I mean, I don't think we went there. I don't think we had any bad performances. We've had good performances, and they were right next to other good performances, and there were some people that had great days on the right day. So we have nothing to hang our head about. What I liked as a coach is that I saw my coaching staff walk away from that meet. I saw our kids there. Really motivated to be better next year, right? I think we were disappointed, and just know that there's more that we can do, and that we were hungry to do that.
Well, the off season came a little bit early, as you've said, and recruiting becomes a part of that as well as just kind of getting everybody settled at the end of the year and into what their summer routine's going to be.
Yeah, so I mean, our transfer portal opened up right kind of on the tail end of that regional championship, and we've been busy kind of filling out our roster and making sure it looks like a team that can be successful in the Southland Conference Championship, qualify those individuals to the West region, and hopefully do better than we did this year.
Coach, I think everybody that's been on this program, and we talk about recruiting, I always see that the high school seniors, they seem to have not quite as big an open door to get into collegiate sports because of the portal. Is it the same way in track and field?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'd venture to say unless you're a top 25 or top 50 in the US, you're probably not having a lot of conversations. You're probably not having a lot of offers super early in the process. But I also believe that there's a lot of great institutions out here that could recruit those high schools. So, I just think that universities are tending to lean towards junior college transfers, transfer portal athletes. It's a little bit more of a polished product that at least has been exposed to some of the competitive elements of what collegiate track and field is, and also, the academic stress that you have in college. It's not, it's just, it's different than high school. And so there's a little bit less of a risk.
Okay, fair enough. I'll be honest, when I think of track and field at the collegiate level, JUCOs just totally are not in my picture at all. And not for any other reason than there's
Yeah.
just not a lot of coverage of it, probably. How big is JUCO track and field in the US?
JUCO track and field is very, very good. Very good. I can leave it at that, right? Like there's a lot of those guys that could have been competing at the West region and be moving on to Eugene. There's a lot of them that were at the West region this year that were at JUCO last year.
Okay.
Yeah. Pretty
Very
clear
good.
pipeline established from JUCO to the East and West region.
That sounds like it. Hey, while the competitive season is over as far as NCAA goes, there's still a little bit coming up for some of your team. You've got a couple of athletes going to the Commonwealth Games
Yeah,
over
there's so there's a
in
chance that
Scotland.
Glasgow, Scotland. So Janelle Jacoby has a qualifying mark. Just need some further communication with her federation if there's any supporting marks that we need to attempt for, but a potential to see her there. Former athlete Fusini, who we know should represent Ghana at least on their relay, maybe in another open event. Enoch ended his season well, and I know he's had some conversation with the federation about opportunities, so maybe potential to see him there. Oguz, our other sprinter from Turkey, will head back here in a few weeks, and he's got a couple races lined up through the summer for himself. And then another, a female from the UK, hopefully represent our country at the U20 World Championships in August. So just kind of waiting to see how those countries select teams and what parts. And once we know that, we'll start making plans.
Well, for the after school year races, we're no strangers to that on this team, are we?
We've managed to do a good job. You know, at our staff, when we announced our Division One kind of transition, something we talked about was really leaning into what's after NCAA regionals or what's after NCAA nationals, just so that we can engage the right athletes and find ways to help them improve and represent something that was bigger than just their team for right now. So it's been
So
an important part of what we do.
that the Lions got to go and had so many that competed in the West Regional. How does that help recruiting a little bit now?
It does, right? Like, I mean, again, the transfer portal is as crazy as they say it is. It really is. And so, you know, you go there and you do well, you're visible there. There's kids competing that are probably in the transfer portal right now. I know that for a fact. So you want to be seen, you want to be doing well. It's a marketing thing too, right? You want to be there.
How many meets are you going to attend this summer, do you think?
TBD. TBD.
All right. Well, would it be one hand or would it be two?
One more than likely.
That's
So
a lot of that's five track meets in summertime.
you know, I'll pick up another race here in 2 weeks, just kind of a local one down in Austin. Kind of a touch up for some of our guys. Kind of an in and out type meet. But you know, hopefully I'll have the chance to go with one of the teams to Commonwealth Games, and you'll be there for the better part of 10 days probably at that. So I don't want to get too many long trips in this summer. I'd rather just have one and have a really good competition. You know,
That's
World
right.
Championships the same way, probably 3 or 4 days at World Championships.
Be selective. That all works. Well, man, it has been, I can't believe another year is really all the way behind us, but here it is. And give us about what, 2.5 months, 3 months, we'll be right back in the starting blocks.
I think we're 9 weeks away.
Ah, he's already counting. I love it.
Maybe
Hey,
10.
man, George Bengott, head coach of Lion men's and women's track. Season is almost completely closed, but we've got good athletes, so they still compete. Folks, want to thank you for being a part of all of these, sitting in. Hey, coach, some of my old Cistercian track and field mates picked up on the podcast the last time out, so they know what we're up to. Folks, we'll see you next time, and who knows, it might be sometime in June. Later, and certainly something in July because we got to see what Jim's been up to, and he's not around today. Till then, I'm Charlie Chitwood. Coach, thanks a lot, and
Thank you,
we'll
Charlie.
see you all next time. Great summer, everybody.